Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Vin Scully, what a life in full this man led.
There's 29,000 people in the ballpark and 1 million butterflies.
This is such a masterpiece. It's the radio call of Sandy Koufax's perfect game.
Bob Costas here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show, voice of Thursday Night Football, Al Michaels. Coming up, Iowa head coach Kirk Ferentz. Actor Theo Rossi. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Host of USC Fight Passes, The Nosebleeds. Randy and Jason Sklar. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We are all just still taking in Al Michaels' appearance in the first hour of this program, talking about the passing of Vin Scully. If you missed it, go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for what you may have missed. Right here on Peacock and Sirius XM Channel 85, which is NBC Sports Audio, where we follow the Dan Patrick Show every single day. We also have some in-studio guests coming up on this program. We've got Theo Rossi, the actor from the hit show Sons of Anarchy. Everybody might remember him as Juice on that program. Also from Luke Cage. And also from my hometown of Staten Island, New York. Just saw him back in the green room, told him I'm from Staten Island. I think I shocked him.
Yeah, he didn't seem like he believed
it. I shocked him. I guess he didn't think I drove an IROC in high school, like most of my compatriots at Susan Wagner. No. I'm sorry. I took my driver's test in a Pontiac LE.
Oh.
Because I couldn't use the Blue Bomber. Pontiac Safari station wagon.
I couldn't
parallel park that for
wow, this
my
thing
life.
Is huge. Oh, like a Le Mans?
A New Yorker.
No,
or an LE.
An LE. It was a very small sedan.
Oh, okay. Because the Le Mans.
At any rate, Theo Rossi will be joining us here on the program in studio. And also we've got the Sklar brothers in studio in hour number three. And my compadre from the NFL Media Group, Tom Pelissero, will be joining us from the training camp road to tell us what's going on.
Rich, checking the weather in Ken right now. Mm-hmm. Bring a raincoat.
What do you mean?
Looks like it's going to rain all weekend.
Even for the induction ceremony?
It's going to be warm, but we're looking at rain.
Oh. For the induction ceremony?
It looks like it.
No, don't say it looks like it. You got to tell me.
Well, I'm just telling you. I'm looking at the forecast, and that guy see the rain.
Let me see right
here. We got scattered thunderstorms Friday. We got AM thunderstorms.
So if it could be Midwest, that means they blow through in 2 seconds flat.
We got 50% chance for the whole day. I'm just saying.
It's a coin flip, huh?
Yeah.
You know what's not a coin flip? Me mentioning the Michigan-Ohio State score tomorrow night from the podium.
Hey, Rich, also,
at the jacket dinner?
I don't know if you noticed, like, right before we came back from our last break, I got a phone call.
Yes.
It was your friend Ashton.
Ah!
He was telling me, because, you know, Kirk Ferentz is coming up. He's a former Iowa Hawkeye himself.
Know that.
He wanted me to let Kirk know that he was trash talking Lincoln Riley at a Kenny Chesney concert at SoFi.
Who was?
Ashton was.
Okay.
Kenny Chesney was at SoFi, I think, last week. And
okay.
He was like,
yeah.
Let Kirk know I already started it. He goes, I already trash talk Lincoln Riley.
Okay.
And he was telling him about something about planting corn in the end zone. And, you know, he wanted me just to let Kirk know that the trash talk. I was like, bro, I'm on air. I have to go.
Wow.
You didn't hear me because I have my button now.
See, well done.
You hear me now?
And so, but your friend and ours, may I call
that's
him our friend?
I said your Ashton? I said he was your friend. Yeah.
It just points out, again, as I mentioned, when Los Angeles became a Big Ten city, that, hey, Los Angeles college football fans who have been showing up as empty seats quite a bit at the Rose Bowl and occasionally, heaven forbid, at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of big tenors in this town. And you know who's going to fill the seats?
Them.
Iowa Hawkeye fans like him and Wisconsin fans, yep, and Michigan Staters and Northwestern Wildcats and Wisconsin Badger fans.
Badgers.
And Michigan Wolverines and Buckeye fans.
And
there are a ton of Big Ten football fans in this town that are going to turn a lot of home games into road games. And road games for them into some home games.
Please believe it.
By the way, October 1st is going to be, I'm going to be nervous as a cat.
Why is that?
Because Michigan is the first game for Iowa football to open up their Big Ten schedule at home at Kinnick Stadium. And that is where a lot of Michigan football seasons have gone to die, that stadium.
They still have the pink visitors locker room.
I mean, I don't know.
There's a pink. I didn't know.
Was he calling in or is he?
They're giving us an update. So practice is running a little late.
Okay.
And they're going to try to get to us soon.
Okay. Well, we got Theo Rossi coming up.
I understand.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. Well, we'll keep these trains running on time as we possibly can. Yeah. I'll be nervous. A lot of Big Ten seasons go to die at Kinnick Stadium. A lot of them. And it's also a rematch of the Big Ten championship game that Michigan won after beating Ohio State, which is something I'll talk about tomorrow night in Canton, Ohio, when I'm hosting the Jacket Dinner in front of thousands of Buckeyes. And it's going to be glorious, and I'm going to need some assistance from Jonathan Ogden to protect me from Orlando Pace. Oh, I will call out Chris Carter by name.
Oh.
Do I spell out O-H-N-O?
I was going to say.
H-N-O. Oh, God. Like, that's the sort of stuff.
I think when you do Chris Carter, ask him to stand up and then be like, sit down, mama. Michigan just scored again.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
That might be.
Or you could have him spell out the I or the O.
That might cross a line.
You would get thrown out.
You might have
that's a line crossed.
The idea,
Rich. Because don't forget, Chris Carter has been a cherished member of Run Rich Run over the last couple of years.
I understand.
So there's a line. Yeah. I don't want to cross it. I want to creep
this is
right
all
onto
good
it.
Humor.
I want to give that line a bird's eye look, and then not cross it.
Just promise me you won't be walking through the Home Goods parking lot at night by yourself after this. Because
you love that jump story, man.
That's a good TJ loves.
Not sure if you're aware. They sell Home Goods there.
I just saw the Home Goods sign. I'm like, I don't know if you're aware. They sell Home Goods there.
That was one of the funniest things of all time.
Joining me on air on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, getting set for his 24th year as head coach of Iowa Hawkeye football, is the man who always has my heart in my throat whenever my Wolverines take on his stout Iowa Hawkeye team. Head coach Kirk Ferentz here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Coach?
Rich, I'm great. Good to be with you. And I got to tell you, my daughter went to Michigan.
Hey, okay. So and, what? Okay.
Yeah, Mary Sue Coleman was our president when I came here.
Okay.
And then she was up there when Kelly went to school. And I was told Mary Sue, it was great that, you know, Kelly had a fallback school to go to. She couldn't get into Iowa, so at least she had a place where she could, you know, go get a college education. It was great.
Understood. So when, let's say you've got a play dialed up that you know is going to work against the Michigan offense or defense, why don't you next time just say, you know, let's not run that. I don't want to do that to my daughter. I don't want to make her upset, right? Can you do that?
The ones we ran in December weren't so successful, so we're still looking for a few.
I appreciate you saying that. So, by the way, greetings from Big Ten country here in Los Angeles, Coach. Greetings from...
Yeah, whoever thought we'd be saying that.
I know, right? What do you think of the expansion into the West Coast Pacific time zone, UCLA and USC, Coach Ferentz?
You know, quite honestly, two takeaways for me were, first of all, I was amazed at just the secrecy. You know, I don't know how big the circle was. There had to be more than two people involved. So the fact that they kept it so quiet, whoever was involved, I thought that was really impressive. And then my second thought, I'm really glad I'm not one of the Olympic sport coaches at either of those two schools because, man, they're gonna have some tough road trips. It's hard to imagine that Planet Iowa or Nebraska would feel like a home game if you're a coach on the West Coast, but that's kind of what they're looking at right now.
So do you like this expansion era, Coach? Are you like saying this is progress, or are you saying, you know, I'm a little bit more old school, I kind of liked it the way things have been? Coach, what do you think?
As my age would indicate, I am a little bit old school, but I've really, you know, you're part of this, and you know, I spent a couple of years in the NFL, and each and every year was a new year and a different year. And certainly the last 20, 23, 24 years, even longer than that in college football, are really interesting. I'll go back. My first head coaching job was at the University of Maine, early 90s, and Kevin White, who left Maine, went to Tulane, Arizona State, Notre Dame, and just retired at Duke. I remember Kevin talking about the impact of TV sets and realigning of conferences and all. I had no idea what he was talking about, zero. Mm-hmm. And the things that he was, you know, he was privy to, I guess, back, you know, 30 years ago, they've kind of come to fruition. And, you know, starting at Penn State, joining the Big Ten, and then, you know, you go from there. So times are very different. And then I think, you know, the last 5-10 years have taught us is, When it comes to college geography and tradition, really are secondary to TV opportunities. And I think when the Big Ten Network started, to me, that was really the beginning of a major shift in terms of college football.
Yeah, and normally the goal is to play UCLA in the Rose Bowl as the Rose Bowl. Now it's a Big Ten conference game. I can't kind of wrap my head around that just yet, but it's coming. And there is also another accelerant in this, as you had mentioned, television contracts, Coach Kirk Ferentz. But there's also the NIL deals that are changing the landscape of college football. What is your approach to the name, image, and likeness deals that are out there now, Coach?
First of all, I really didn't pay attention to it the first X amount of months, really kind of started zeroing in on February after we got done with recruiting you know, a couple of things. I think there's probably a fair amount of exaggeration about some of the things that are going on in terms of, you know, just how significant or how fine the print is in some of those contracts. So I think that's going to be interesting over time. One thing we haven't experienced yet is, you know, guys getting big contracts in college and then maybe not producing at the level that the people paying those contracts expect. We've seen that happen in pro baseball or pro baseball was really the first sport with really true free agency, at least that I can remember when I was a kid. So that's going to be something. And the other part thing, I think it really kind of jumped out at me, in terms of you think about all the guys that play college football, how many are really benefiting all that much? I think, you know, anything that the guys can get's great. But as far as these ones that you hear about, it's a really small percentage of the guys that truly play the game. So, you know, only time will tell how it's really going to impact us, but it's certainly given us one thing more to navigate. On a humorous note, you know, our guys are now getting exposed to the world of taxes, something that they really, I don't think, understood. And we want to make sure they do understand so they don't get surprised there. So that's kind of interesting. But the other part, which is true for each and every one of us, and I tell our guys all the time, all of us only have so much time, so much energy, so you just got to be really careful about where you spend it and where you dedicate it towards.
Have you, Kirk Ferentz, identified a player that you would like on Iowa Hawkeye football and in your program that's turned to you and said, I would do that if you matched a certain number I'm getting on an NIL deal as an inducement? Has that happened to you?
No, it's really interesting. I think this past Sunday was the first time I've had a recruit bring it up. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, they haven't maybe talked to our assistants. I imagine that's a possibility. But, you know, we haven't really experienced that. And our players in our program, you know, Tyler Linderbaum is probably our best-known guy last year, almost inadvertently raised $36,000, and he gave it to the Children's Hospital just to give an indication. We're lucky the guys we get to work with, and I would have had no problem with him putting that in his pocket. But, you know, no, it really hasn't been a big factor yet. I'm sure it's going to become more of one. And, you know, if we could write the script, our approach, I think, would be to I'd prefer to see players that are actually in college who have done something, see them get rewards in proportion to what they've accomplished. And, they're, you know, it'd be nice if there's an academic component to it. That's probably, you know, that's probably not the real world. But, you know, I think all of us function better when rewards, you know, production's rewarded as opposed to potential or projection.
So you're saying a recruit had the temerity of saying to you, Kirk Ferentz, in year 24 of Iowa football, I'd love to play for you if you matched another deal? Like they actually said that to your face? That happened?
He was talking about, you know, just the world of NIL.
Ah.
And if you understood his background, you'd understand it. And I think you would. At least I felt like I did. And it was totally innocent. But no, he was okay. Not trying to cut a deal. And,
okay.
I'm sure that day's coming, but I haven't had that experience yet.
Kirk Ferentz here on the Rich Eisen Show. Quarterback competition for you over the next couple weeks for your opener? Is that what you got going on?
I think yes and no. I think that probably gets played a little bit more publicly, or, you know, it's a bigger deal publicly. What I said in Indianapolis a week plus ago was that, you know, I feel really fortunate that we've had two guys our team, you know, we won games with, and Spencer got injured last year, had to come out, and Alex Padilla stepped in and did a great job and led us to a couple victories. And, you know, there are teams in the country, teams in our conference that couldn't say that last year. You know, they lost their guy, and that's part of football. You know, players get hurt, and they, you know, they couldn't overcome that. So I'm really proud of our team for overcoming that. And then obviously Alex did a really good job, and I think both Alex Padilla and Spencer Petras are better players than they were a year ago. That's our expectation for all of our players, especially our good guys. And, you know, so I think we've got a healthy situation, and we're going to let everybody compete in camp, every position, and we'll see where it all goes.
So I just have a question, you know, and this is definitely for me, Coach Ferentz, sure. With Michigan coming on October 1st. Is the visitors' locker room still painted a lighter shade of pink in Iowa?
It still is, yeah. And okay. The tradition of Coach Rye, we are definitely honoring that one and continuing that.
Okay. And everything, did you put TVs and a very nice, comfortable couch in there for Michigan and the other visitors? Is it nice and homey, Coach?
You know, ironically, it's probably the nicest locker room in the Big Ten. I can talk from experience. I think I've been in every home locker room outside of our two newcomers. But it's, you know, a lot of talk about the pink, but it's really a very spacious, very nice locker room.
Okay.
And I don't think we've gotten many complaints about that part of it.
Okay, the accommodations are, I'm checking all these boxes. All right, so before I let you go, you were in Patriots camp, right, just last week. Your son plays for Belichick. What is that like, having your son, Bill, play for a guy that you've known forever and a day, Coach?
It's, you know, I mean, it certainly wasn't anything I ever thought would happen or hoped. Obviously, hope good things happen all the time. But, you know, it's just great. And his, you know, I hate to talk about my kids, but his career is actually pretty amazing. He played here in 12. That was his last year.
Mm.
And couldn't get any traction in the NFL. Never really put shoulder pads on once for a full calendar year. Bill O'Brien gave him a chance to try to make the team in Houston, Bill's first year down there. And so James made the practice squad and ended up gaining traction in Denver. Unfortunately, Gary Kubiak couldn't continue coaching. The new coach came in, took one look at James. James isn't the biggest guy in the world, and that was the end of his career in Denver. But anyway, he's fortunately been able to gain a little traction in New England. So, yeah, it was a thrill just to be at practice, period, and then also to see James on the field is pretty cool.
Can you share just a little bit, whatever you're willing, about what talking ball with Bill Belichick is like between Kirk Ferentz and Bill Belichick? A little fly on the wall,
yeah,
for me.
I don't wonder an awful lot, but I always do wonder. I wonder every now and then what my life would have been if you know, Coach Belichick hadn't called me back in 1993. And I think the truth of the matter is they had like 8 or 9 line coaches apply for the job. It just didn't work out. So they truly got to the bottom of the barrel. I ended up in Cleveland. But so I'm just so appreciative of those 3 years to have a chance to work with Coach Belichick. And my oldest boys worked with him for five years. And now to have another son be up there, I just feel very, very appreciative. And, you know, he's obviously an outstanding coach, but he's just a tremendous person on top of it. And I'm really appreciative of that part of it.
Do you talk ball with him and schemes and things like that? Or do you do that?
Yeah, a little bit of schemes, but probably more just, you know, people and, you know, trends in the game, those types of things. Just maybe a little bigger picture that way. But, you know, pretty much anything he says, it's worth listening to. I can tell you that for my 3 years in Cleveland.
Coach Ferentz, appreciate the time. Let's chat down the line October 1st. Think of me and your daughter, okay? Just a little bit. And, you know, when you're taking on the Wolverines, please do that for me, okay?
She finished up here and got a couple graduate degrees. So We got her back on track.
Back on track.
Just for the record.
Back on track. All right. I'll send everybody here in Big Ten country in Los Angeles your regards.
I appreciate it. Great to talk to you, Rich.
Always. Thank you. That's Coach Kirk Ferentz. You're 24.
Wow.
At Iowa on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay. I mean, I didn't tell him Ashton talked ass to Lincoln Riley, but.
We were pressed for time.
We were pressed for time.
But it's out there.
It's still a lighter shade of pink. I don't know. I've heard people go in that locker room. Spacious is not the word that I hear about that visitor's locker room, Chris.
Yeah, I'm actually, someone just sent me a tweet. Apparently, Harbaugh has his staff wrap every inch in blue.
Correct.
And if Michigan loses, they rip it to shreds and leave it there for Iowa to clean up.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's...
Really? You know what? That's going to... You know what? That Michigan sort of behavior is going to give me pause people. Tomorrow night. No, it won't. Let's take a break. Theo Rossi, the actor from some hit shows like Sons of Anarchy and Luke Cage, is in a new movie called Emily the Criminal. And my Staten Island compadre will join me in studio next. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And right now is when we welcome you back on the Rich Eisen Show on our terrestrial radio stations. We just saw a highly incriminating clip of Theo Rossi playing the role of Yousef in the new film, Emily the Criminal, also starring Aubrey Plaza, Friday, August 12th, in a theater near you. And Theo Rossi, good to see you again, sir. How are you?
It's an absolute pleasure.
Good. So let's jump into this here. You play the role of a guy who is stealing credit card information and having people buying stuff with them. That's basically what a dummy shopper is.
He provides these credit cards and these numbers, and people come and do stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what this film is about, where Aubrey Plaza goes down this hole, figuring out a life of crime. And
there's a bigger picture. She's saddled with student debt, overwhelmed.
Yes.
And, you know, when you push people to a certain limit, they have to find other ways, as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And she just happens to stumble upon Yousef and my cousin, and it potentially goes down the wrong path. But when faced with this adversity, we both find out who we truly are.
Ah.
Maybe Yousef isn't who we think.
Okay.
Maybe Emily isn't who we think. The yin and the yang.
And Emily the Criminal, again, is in the theater near you on Friday, August the 12th. And so what did you enjoy about playing this role or learning about this world?
Well, my mom was really happy because, you know, she's Lebanese and Syrian. So I finally got to, you know, play with IM, which was very exciting for her.
Yes.
And I got to, you know, call some family members and really dive deep back into that because Yusuf had just come here years before. I had a little knowledge of credit card fraud. So it was
being
nice.
Being on the business end, the wrong end of it is what you're saying? Because I've been in that position where all of a
sudden. I've been in both sides of it.
Okay. I hope the statute of limitations is run out on that. Okay,
It has.
Very good.
It's been a long time.
Very, very good, Theo. Okay.
School in a place called Albany, and there was some crazy.
SUNY?
SUNY
State
Albany.
University of New York at Albany? University.
It's fine. It's Great Danes.
Okay, very good.
And it was a crazy time.
Theo Rossi here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's just jump right into it. You probably had no idea I'm from Staten Island, New York, because I don't look like a guy from Staten Island, New York.
No, and the funny thing is,
yes, sir.
Now that you say it,
yes.
You look exactly like a guy.
What from are you? I'll bite. What do you mean?
The whole persona just came out.
Is that
it's
right
like,
there? Forget
it's
about
like
it.
Entered the 36 chambers. Like I feel like I just went into the Wu-Tang. Right now,
like I'm from the North Shore. I'm actually from the Willowbrook section of Staten Island.
Amazing,
right in the heart of the island itself.
It's a movie I'm developing right now.
Are you in
about Willowbrook? Cropsey Killer and everything with Willowbrook.
Oh my God, Cropsey! Have you ever heard of Cropsey?
Great documentary.
Go ahead, tell him who Cropsey is. He's from Maine mostly.
Yeah, you're mostly really, New England.
You're a military
kind of from all over.
Around.
Yeah,
all
right,
over.
Yeah, right. And but Mike, what exit are you from?
145 on the GSP
on the
Garden State Parkway.
Yes, indeed.
I know the Garden State
very well.
I mean,
Well, I mean,
I used to DJ
exit 13 on the Turnpike for me.
There you go.
I was a Gothels Bridge guy.
You were a Gothels Bridge guy.
Yeah,
I was a Gothels.
Great roller rink.
It's all changed.
Has it really?
Everything's changed in New York. It's a different. I went back when I was doing Luke Cage. I was living on Staten Island for 4 years.
You lived on Staten Island,
to
shoot
four
Luke
years.
Cage.
Yes. And I realized it was freezing.
Yes.
And I had to get out.
Okay. Understand.
And now we live on a ranch in Austin. And it's a whole different life.
My God, is it a whole different life?
It's a whole different.
So what part of Staten Island are you from?
So I'm from Oakwood.
I know where that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went to Farrell.
Monsignor Farrell.
Monsignor Farrell played football.
I'm Susan E. Wagner High School.
It was one. That was where I was going to be for me. It was one or the other. I went to PS23. I was either going to go to Wagner or Farrell, and I went to Farrell because football was my entire life. All my other buddies went to Wagner. Mm-hmm. We played each other, you know.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. Beat them every year that I was there.
Okay.
And
you're a champion.
It is what it is. We won the 91 state championships. Okay. I'm not going to age myself.
What did you play there?
I played outside linebacker. Started as a fullback. Then we went to the run and shoot. Nope. And then I went to outside linebacker. It was a lot bigger.
I was about to
And I
to
played
say.
A strong safety in my senior year. Yeah, junior and senior.
I mean, you're
monster back.
You don't strike me as a fullback.
It's about 35 linebacker. Pounds heavier.
Okay.
Maybe 40.
Okay.
It was a different time. Things were different.
Are you talking about a certain era where
it was a different time?
Did you drink a lot of juice back in the day?
Yeah, I drank a lot of juice. Okay. I played juice, and things were different.
Right.
And I still have heartburn.
Juice Ortiz. Somebody put the juice in Ortiz well before becoming an actor.
It was a different time.
Okay, understood.
Yeah.
All right, Theo.
And then I went to SUNY Albany to play, and then I realized that after only losing, I think I lost two high school games, that Albany lost a lot more.
I didn't know SUNY Albany has a football team.
I was going to go to Canisius to play or Buffalo, but it went to Albany.
Well, Buffalo, Khalil Mack played in Buffalo, man. I mean, so.
Buffalo's fantastic.
I know.
But it was a little colder.
Huh.
And I chose Albany because all my guys from Wagner and all the guys from Farrell, we all went together.
SUNY, we went to SUNY Albany.
Yes.
Okay.
To play.
Right.
And then we did it. Two stayed and played.
Well, I went to PS54, IS72, Susan Wagner High School.
My producing partner and best friend went to 72.
Who was that?
Nick Carmona.
Nick Carmona.
Yeah, we call him Mona.
Mona owes me $5.
Yeah, we call him Mona. I bet you Mona owes you a lot more than that. He owes a lot of people money.
This is great. This is amazing. And then I went to the University of Michigan.
Wow.
And on graduation day, I got a call from the boss who was my... My boss from my two previous summer internships at the Staten Island Advance.
Wow.
Where I was a staff writer for 3 years and driving on Father Capodanno Boulevard back in the day, following an ambulance because I thought that might be a story.
It was.
I ran through three red lights, and I thought I pulled over on Father Capodanno Boulevard, and I said, I can't do this anymore.
Can't ambulance chase on Father Capodanno.
You can't do that. Well, yes, that's true.
I never made Staten Island Advance All-Star, so that's probably your fault, and because that was a big deal.
I was, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So you you were probably on the voting committee.
No, I
did make actually, New York State All-Stars.
No, but you didn't want to speak to me because I was the one answering the phones at 11 at night, taking the obituary from all the funeral homes.
Yeah, nobody wanted to talk to me. Still going strong.
I know they are.
Yeah, my step-grandfather was a pouch terminal. He coached pouch terminal. If you remember, they were men's league baseball. Again, sports were different in the 80s, 90s in Staten Island. Big deal.
Yeah, right.
I played at Miller Field all the time. I played soccer and Staten Island Boys League football.
So what's Cropsey? Tell him what Cropsey is again. Because Cropsey used to scare the crap out of me.
Yeah. So in the 80s, Cropsey was basically terrorizing Staten Island. There was Willowbrook, the institution that Geraldo busted.
Geraldo Rivera. Jerry Rivers, I believe, at the time was the one who busted it, to be very honest with you. But okay, go for it.
Yeah, he busted it wide open.
It
was this horrific scene, and then Cropsey,
five blocks from where I grew up in Willowbrook,
and we used to go hang out in there in the abandoned Willowbrook and play Sanitarium from Metallica.
Never would I ever do that. I was I knew
the Sickies were in there. There was all the groups.
What the hell were you doing, Theo Rossi?
I don't know.
I was getting ready for Sons of Anarchy. That's what you were doing.
I was a young kid, who was fearless, building forts in the woods.
Did Cropsey exist? Did he really exist?
Well, they got someone. I don't know.
Andre Rand.
Yeah, that's who they got. Yeah. And he used to work at Willowbrook as a janitor. Janitor
at Willowbrook.
We would tell stories around campfires.
So he totally, fully harassed and was this candy man of Staten Island for a long time.
You're doing a documentary?
No. I'm obsessed with, and I miss, my favorite movies are like Goonies, Stand By Me, Flight of Navigator, you know, Sandlot, all those kind of films.
Yes.
And I feel those have really been missed. So 12 years old is a very important age. It's kind of right between when you're discovering things and also when you're still a child. In my case, it was right when my mother came in and said, it's time to stop playing with toys. And it like broke my heart. I was like, what? But yet I was into, you know, figuring out who I was. So it's about these five 12-year-olds on Halloween night in 1987, because of the looming Cropsey. They say that Halloween's canceled and they want to go out egging and bombing and being kids and doing whatever. And they want to go rescue their friend who had moved out of, the bad area where they are to go to Staten Island Academy.
Yes.
And they
driver's test.
Yeah, me too.
Yes.
And then, and with the looming Cropsey stuff out there, and it's called The Wolf Kings, and it's about these five kids, and it's basically an overnight coming of age adventure thing.
Take my money right now.
You're in, right?
We're going to direct it. I'm directing it, and I'm excited.
Well, I mean, congratulations
Thank
on that.
Because
that you had everybody at Hello here on Goonies, right?
Sandlot,
which I fully admit. I had never seen until the last 3 years of my entire
life. Karen Allen, I had her in my first movie I produced. She's amazing in it. And Squints, I'm still friends with all those guys. I talk to them all the time.
Karen Allen from
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I just showed Raiders of the Lost Ark to my my oldest son.
Which is weird because you're in that movie.
No, I'm not. I just have.
You're not in it?
No,
now you're in it.
Theo, I went to Italy on a vacation with my wife recently, and I bought this rakish hat.
I wore it,
and I'm wearing it now, and I have it here, and it's a Borsellino hat. It's very expensive and rakish.
But you wear it on the show. You don't wear it outside the show.
Outside the show, but I'm wearing it now because I have it here because these guys have been poking
me. He was digging in Cairo for the Ark.
Stop. Yes. I was not.
It's a well of souls.
I was not in the well of souls. I was not in the well of souls. There I am. I was in Italy right there. There's the shot, Theo. Look at that.
Oh, wow. Jurassic Park, yeah. No, you're like the guy who owns Jurassic Park.
If he's drinking a mango smoothie by the Tyrrhenian Sea. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
That's Jurassic Park.
It's great for pictures and it's great in here.
Offensive.
Staten Island? No way not.
Don't wear that hoop.
It's a Staten Island card with that hat. You can't cross the bridge.
I haven't been on the rock in a long time.
Good idea.
So let's talk about a couple other things here. Your theory podcast.
Yeah.
You and Kim Coates drop weekly podcasts.
What a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Okay. Why is it a mess for people who may not
know? So I'm going to tell you, what you do is amazing. A couple of years back, yes, someone said to me, hey, you should do a podcast and we're going to get all these people and you should talk to them. And, yeah, you know, I had all these great people on. And by the third show, I said, I have no interest in talking to people. It was like canned answers and no one was like being themselves. And I said, this is ridiculous. So I'm just going to have my friends on. Mm-hmm. So I had Kim on. And when Kim was on, because this is still one of my closest friends, I realized we both hadn't really watched Sons of Anarchy. We'd seen a few episodes. So I said, why don't I scrap that and we'll just watch Sons of Anarchy and talk about it. So we did, but we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we don't watch them in order?
Mm.
And that was a terrible idea. Yeah, because...
By the way, that was my... Mm, like right
terrible
there, like,
idea, okay, because we would watch like episodes in season three and go, I wonder why would he do that? Why would that happen? And the audience...
But you lived it. You didn't even remember yourself?
No, I don't remember anything. No, I'm a goldfish. I don't remember anything. I won't remember this the second I leave here.
That's okay, it. Theo Rossi, I get it.
So then we started, after when we got to season four, we started going in order and we talked to everyone from the show, and it's become this incredible thing. And then we do Theory, which was the original, now as the side thing where I just kind of talk about things that make no sense.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What did you mentioned your mom earlier before. What did she think of Sons of Anarchy?
It's a little violent for her.
It's a little bit too violent?
Yeah.
Okay.
She wants me just to play nice people.
Well, so what's happening with that?
I'm starting to. There's things coming out where I mean, don't let Emily the Criminal fool you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. What is your takeaway from Sons of Anarchy now that you do look back? I know you said you're a goldfish, but...
Yeah, we were just speaking about it. I think that I'm so fortunate to be from an era where you watch TV where people, you lived with them for 8 years.
Right.
7, 8 years. So I now understand after watching it that you were with people every week and they talked about it at work and they watched it with their parents and they watched it with, you know, their significant other, and they named their dog Jax or Juice or Opie, and it engulfed their life. And we just don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're consuming shows very fast and we don't have that connection. If we almost forget about it, because I think somebody just said there was like, I think 600 scripted TV shows last year. So I'm fortunate that there were these shows that Sopranos, The Wire, Oz, Breaking Bad, yes, Sons, that were kind of these weekly and kind of hit the zeitgeist type thing. I was just saying, I was in Bulgaria, you know, doing a film and there was someone with the Reaper on it, like the Superman symbol. So it kind of traveled and became something. So I'm really fortunate to have that. And, it's a great and most amazing fan base in the world.
Well, there is and there is obviously the streaming community where people who maybe didn't see it
now
experience
back
it the way that you just lamented that many people don't experience shows anymore. They could binge it, no juice, literally within 72 hours and run into you in the
street.
Which
is really hard because they weren't kind of made for that. It was like, I can't imagine that emotional roller coaster of going to the next episode, the next episode, next episode. I think that having that break, which I think we're starting to go back to, is kind of nice. You have a moment.
Although, you know, my wife and I just spent the weekend binging Yellowstone, which we didn't get into. You know, right here on Peacock. That's not why I'm saying it. Get something extra in my check. But when we went from the end of season one right into the start of season two, I turned to her. I'm like, how lucky are we that it took us 10 seconds to get into something that somebody waited like a calendar year for? But so there, I guess there is a benefit to that. But your show was not made for that. And that is the way many people
I think it works both ways. I think that it's a benefit to the audience to be more in there, like to really be in their life. Mm. And as an artist, and I use that word sparingly with me, it's to be connected to them. They get to know you more.
Well, it's great to get to know you and you, me, because when I walked in today and saw you for the first time, you didn't think there's a guy from Staten Island, but now you do. No. Okay.
You didn't have the hat on.
I didn't. Did not have the hat on. That is correct. That is not the way I greet people on this program, is with that hat. But it's great to meet somebody from The Rock who's done so well. So thanks. Congrats on that.
That means a ton.
And that's the truth. Emily the Criminal, check it out in theaters near you starting Friday, August the 12th. The Theory Podcast drops wherever you can get your podcasts with twice a week releases. When do we see, do you think this to do with the Cropsey? When do we see this? When do you start?
We're supposed to start filming at the end of October. So we got a bunch of stuff coming out between then. And I'm sure we'll talk again. Maybe we'll go to Danino's in Staten Island.
Danino's, hey man, that was featured in The King of Staten Island, right?
I know.
When I saw that.
There, Burke, it's my buddy Burke.
That's it, man. Danino's, that's the real
Ralph's Ices.
I was telling that to my son the other day.
They would never know. My sons would never know a Ralph's Ices.
My dad taught me. He rest in peace. He was an assistant. He was a vice principal at Port Richmond High School.
Amazing.
So that was right there, right in Port Richmond. I went to Ralph's Ices.
And Danino's. You went to everything there.
Come on, man.
Your dad lived an amazing life.
My mom taught in Brooklyn. She's, you know, she lives here in L.A. now. And man.
Cool.
Brooklyn, Staten Island.
Here.
Oh, yeah. They were New York City public school educators that when the Verrazano Bridge got built, they went from Brooklyn right to
Staten
Island.
Same exact thing happened with us.
That's it, man.
Isn't that incredible?
It's a small.
Well, I'm sorry to hear about your dad, but it's great that your mom's here with you and that you guys had Ralph's Ices together.
It's the greatest because when you got to the bottom of it, it was like crisp at the bottom. It was like syrup at the bottom.
Ready? Like, the rainbow ice. I'm ready right now.
at Theo Rossi on Twitter. Check out Emily the Criminal in theaters on August the 12th right here on The Rich Eisen Show. The Sklars still to come. The brothers in hour three. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true when your business is growing fast, and even more true when there's a lot of uncertainty. Inflation running rampant, supply chains are clogged, labor markets tight. What does that mean for your margins? Not every business, however, is in the dark. Over 31,000 businesses know their numbers because they use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control of your financials, planning, budgeting, and of course, inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. In 2022, profit is the new growth, people. So NetSuite helps you identify rising costs, automate your manual business processes, and see where to save money. Know your numbers, know your business, and get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/rich. Right now, netsuite.com/richradio. Right now, at netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. Dylan in Denver, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Dylan?
Hey there, Rich. I'm doing well. Just got a good fantasy team name for you guys.
Oh.
I actually walked right by.
Okay. What do you got?
It's called I Got Shouldered.
I Got Shouldered. I Got Shouldered. You want to write that down?
I Got Shouldered. Writing it down. I got a long list.
I Got Shouldered.
I got a long list of names.
There's a lot of people who shouldered, but apparently I shouldered Vin. I had no idea. You know, the one time I'm on a dais with Vin Scully and I'm taking a picture with him, I shouldered him.
Shouldering Vin Scully?
Now that could be. What do you think, Dylan? Can we shouldering Vin? Could that be the fantasy team name, maybe?
We workshop this.
Shouldering Scully?
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know.
That's a good way to put it. Vin shouldered me.
Ah, very good. Okay. Well done. Thanks, Dylan. Greatly appreciate it. I've now gotten people who consume this program looking at photographs, and it's true. This is something that happens in all photographs. Somebody shoulders somebody else. And then the key thing is when you see, for instance, the new Amazon booth, right? Or the new Amazon Prime football booth with Al and Kirk Herbstreit, right? Kaylee Hartung, I believe, is the sideline reporter. That's some news that, in our industry that did not escape the two of you people.
No, me.
Nope.
Okay.
She's back. She had went to news
okay.
for a while.
And so
news
they'll put, I don't know if they're going to have Al, Kirk, and Kaylee together at some point. They might Photoshop them all in together.
That's true.
Yep.
And somebody always makes the conscious decision as to who shoulders who. Always. So keep an eye out for all of that.
When are we going to pick our fantasy? Are we going to do the Alice in Chains League
of
this
course.
Year?
Of course. I think so. They already sent
to. You guys got to keep doing it. You won.
I'll let you know.
We didn't win last year.
We'll discuss
year.
It. Chris, we will discuss it. But I think in late August, I just got to reach out to Paul Rudd because he's the guy who always chooses
I know,
every year.
But we got really, like I got a other. List of like 100 names
okay.
that we're going to have to narrow down.
Bill Belichick had his press conference today, or a press conference today. He's for a guy that has a reputation of supposedly not wanting to talk to the press, he talks to the press an awful lot.
He does.
And today, a 14-year-old, I believe that's an eighth or ninth grader, depending on where they are in school, showed up, had a press pass, and asked a couple questions of Bill Belichick, who could not have been more gracious in answering.
I'm Isaac Leibowitz here from Nightly News Kids Edition.
Yeah, are you this youngest reporter we've had?
14.
Stacy? 14? All right. Well,
Stacy okay. James.
Coach Belichick, the team has been training hard out here. What sort of team bonding activities go on off the field?
Team bonding off the field. We do a number of things. A lot of just getting to know your teammates, so doing things like that, making sure that honestly, that we know our teammates, players, coaches, players. So learn about your teammates, whether that's sitting with them at dinner, whether it's doing trivia questions, whether it's, sometimes they're counting on each other. It's like one die, all die. If one guy makes a mistake, then everybody pays the consequences. That, like, brings everybody together. Obviously, it doesn't really matter if you know it, but if somebody doesn't know it, then everybody loses. Or sometimes if one person knows it, everybody wins, and then that person gets a lot of appreciation from his teammates. So different things like that.
I know it's Kendrick Bourne's birthday today. Are you planning on celebrating with the team?
Of course.
Yeah.
We had Henry Anderson yesterday, KB today. Yeah, we've had a bunch of birthdays, so yeah, we try to recognize those. Sometimes they slip by. Some guys want to be recognized. Some guys don't. Some of the older coaches don't necessarily need that. Sure, we'll get it. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for the questions.
So there you go. And then somebody apparently in the media said to Isaac, you got one more. He had one more. And that's today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Today's Bill Belichick press conference moment.
Well, we prefer to win.
My friends and I watch a lot of football, more than our moms would like. But we're obsessed with fantasy football. Even though you don't play, do you think it's a good or bad for the NFL?
Yeah, honestly, I don't really have any opinion on that because fantasy football doesn't mean anything to me. Like, we're just trying to win games out here, and so I don't know who's hot, who's not, who wins, who doesn't. Like, I don't really care about that. I just care about whether we win. So, yeah, I have fun with that.
Fantastic. I mean,
third bite of the apple sometimes.
Yeah, you gotta be, like you say.
Too big a bite.
Walk away.
No.
Chris tells me all the time. Mike,
okay, who wins? Who?
TJ says it all the time. Ahead.
TJ says it all the time. Yeah, Mike,
Bill,
leave.
Should I?
It's good.
Good.
Stop.
Should I put Kendrick Bourne in at my flex? What do you think?
Right.
My chef.
You like what you're seeing out of?
Flex out. Should I flex out Ramondre Stevenson?
Yeah. So Bill won't be on a fantasy show this year.
There you go. Yeah, I guess that won't be new NBC Sports compadre Matthew Berry's first fantasy football guest.
Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
I pay Bill a lot.
Jonnu Smith, I'm going to flex him, right,
Bill? Boy, you like Hunter Henry in the red zone?
Tom Pelissero of NFL Network will join us, and so will the Sklars in studio. It'll be fun, hour three.
I mean,
can we get Jacoby Myers some more targets? Sleeper Jacoby
Myers. Why not?
Myers,
just throwing
that out. I mean, you can't go. I mean, he went in. The first question was great. That was the longest Bill Belichick answer.
Well, he's so
which was great.
Yeah, everyone got to see the you know the guy that everybody who
he's
knows.
Doing it for the kids. I mean,
of course,
Bill's of a course good guy.
He is a great guy. He really is.
Maybe Bill doesn't like fantasy because Nike the dog is the one drafting his team.
Oh, true.
Could be that. Could be that. Right.
Nike takes care of Bill's fantasy team.
Nike sits there at the laptop, right?
Yeah.
And just blew the draft.
Nike the dog.
Right?
How lazy is it to name your dog Nike?
What do you mean? What are you talking about? There it is.
Look at that. Like, he has two laptops.
There's Nike. Maybe Nike's multiple choosing screens. The wrong team. Nike blew it, left somebody on the board he didn't need to.
Multiple screens?
That's Bill Belichick's dog choosing his fantasy
Nike
team at the kitchen table.
Nike drafted N'Keal Harry instead of DK Metcalf.
Oh, see, now you're trying to keep – now you're bringing us down. Now you're bringing us down.
I'm still mad.
We're up
that.
Here.
I'm still
we
mad.
We're up here.
Yeah,
he I'm having a good time. Talking about fantasy, bro. Kids asking questions.
Nike,
you brought it down
bank.
Here. Nike brought it down here.
Bank. Nike passed on AJ Brown.
Nike passed on AJ Brown.
Debo.
DK Metcalf. Debo Samuel.
Great job.
Did he pass on Deontay Johnson too? He just got paid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably.
There you go. $36.71 million. 2 years. There you
ooh-hoo.
Go. That's it.
Paid a man.
Okay. $19 million in year one. Here we go. For
Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky.
Oh.
Second stringer. Kenny Pickett.
Mason Rudolph.
Apparently looks the best right now. Oh, baby.
Pittsburgh.
That's all playing out.
Steelers fans.
Freaking out.
What's Belichick's fantasy team name? On to Cincinnati?
Eight rings.
Exactly.
Eight rings.
Yeah. I mean, that's
again,
it. Walk away.
Again, we're trying to go up. We're trying to.
Eight rings. That's it.
And bring it down to the level of seriousness. Eight rings. Come on.
Suck it. Eight rings. That's it.
Suck it. Eight rings. Like you add the suck
you add the
it
suck
to
it in
it?
The back. Yeah. Eight rings. Suck it.
Suck it. Suck it. Eight rings.
I don't know
about that.
The Patriot Way. That could be the name
ooh,
of his team.
Do your job.
There you
go.
Good job. Nantucket Naps.
Let's get Isaac back out there. We should have Isaac ask him his New Year's resolution next time. Be great.